Have you ever brought a significant other home, but they were an orphan and your parents didn't know you were gay, and chaos ensues, and Dan Levy looks adorable because he's your best friend and kills fish? Well, you're in for the happiest season, a Hulu original.
We wish you a merry Netflixmas. We wish you a merry Netflixmas. We wish you a merry Netflixmas and a sappy new year.
Hello and welcome to Netflixmas. I am one of your hosts, Scarlett Alexandra.
And I'm the other host, Dog Mom, Holly Cuomo.
Oh my God, Holly. Oh my gosh, what's that? Falling from the sky? Oh, it is a sexy, boob-tasseled snow woman.
Yes.
Who just dropped from the sky. Oh my God, and the snow is melting off. And who is that? Faye Bronte? The snow burlesque woman
coming down from the heavens,
falling and melting at the same time.
Well, I imagine you falling, but then you're wearing like this icicle dress, and then like the dress melts, and then you're just like this Venus de Milo goddess, but of course modesty pasties in place.
I really love this slutty Cinderella narrative that I've been sending to everyone.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
I don't like to be perceived often, but that's a good way to be perceived.
Well, thank you so much for coming on this show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my goodness. I'm so excited to have you on because we hung out, like, was it like 8 years ago?
It was like 8 years ago.
We also know each other through stand-up in New Orleans, of which I did an amount of.
Yeah.
So, you know. I'm not really a stand-up-y lady, obviously. Holly is.
Yeah, and I know Jay through stand-up, and before I even met her, I asked her to be on this web show that I had called Poor People, where we did a bubble face mask.
It was terrifying and wonderful.
We had a fun time in our robes.
Cute. Well, yeah, so I'm so glad that you're doing this particular movie as well, The Happiest Season. You identify as queer, right?
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
Yeah.
No, it was great because I was pouty about this movie because I don't have I'm only in hetero relationships right now. And I was like, I need to watch this with a purpose and with love. And I was able to do that because I knew I was going to get to come back and share it with you guys.
Oh, well, I mean, because I'm pansexual. My last two dating experiences have been men, but that doesn't make you any less queer. It just makes you have an amount of daddy issues.
Just makes you meaner to your boyfriends.
Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because I watched this movie over this past Thanksgiving weekend. My best friend, her dad passed away about this time last year. And so she wanted some support, you know, going just to her mom's. And so it was just me and her mom and her, obviously, having a little weekend Thanksgiving. And I was like, of course, going there as a friend. And I was like, oh, we need to watch this movie. Like, it's cute, but it's also, you know, like for my podcast. And then I like turned to her mom. I'm like, I promise this movie like isn't an indicator of me and Bree's relationship. So it was really, but it was so cute. I liked 90% of it.
Yeah, I felt similar about it. It was interesting because I watched the movie. I'm polyamorous, and so I watched the movie with my partner and my metamour, which is what we call my partner's partner, that relationship. And like, so I'm not any like queer, like same sexual orientation relationships right now, but there is a lot of closeting and polyamorous dynamics, especially in a small town. So us watching that movie as a group was like really great and really cute. And also you could feel us all kind of just like grumbling a lot of it as well. But I mean, the costuming was fantastic.
Oh my God. K-Stu. Oh. Oh my God. That one, one scene where she's just like in this like low cut shirt and like a blazer, just like leaning casually against a bar, like sipping like a vodka neat. And I'm like, I think I just found my new, like an entirely new sexuality that is just that picture.
Yes, no, absolutely. And then Aubrey Plaza too, was like every outfit was just like, oh, okay. Yeah, no, cool. Yep, still gay. Still very, very, very gay.
So obviously K-Stu is in us, Kristen Stewart, yes. Who I didn't like as an actress until she came out as queer.
I didn't like her a lot initially, but then I like got to, I've seen like some behind the scenes things and some interviews and kind of like her personal growth and the things she's been working on. And I was like, oh, you know what? I like her. I'm into it.
I feel like the role was so, it just made her personality make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's like this kind of like awkward queer person who is like has enough confidence to settle into their identity but still feels a little uncomfortable in that space and hasn't quite learned to be assertive in all ways, and like it just it made her like her like usual deadpan very endearing.
Yeah. So I have a general problem with this movie, which I am going to discuss now because it definitely like informed my view of the movie in retrospect, which was Clea DuVall, the woman who wrote and directed this movie, who I knew from But I'm a Cheerleader, which is a iconic lesbian movie. Yeah. And she said that this was basically like her, like she wrote it because it was from her own experience.
Right.
But she wasn't the Kristen Stewart character. She was the other one. She was Harper?
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense, just because I was like wondering, there's three different places in this movie where Harper gets like the Oscar speech, like the Oscar winning speech, and then Kristen Stewart gets none. And she's just like this like nonsensically supportive character.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm kind of thinking that Clea DuVall almost like wrote it as a sort of like catharsis of what she wanted to happen.
Yeah.
From what I ended up reading, she like wanted to sort of address like that fight or flight reaction that you have when you don't have control of the narrative when you're coming out. So it was very sympathetic towards that character, even though the whole time like it was really frustrating. It was really. It was like, yes, it was realistic, but I think it wasn't as like feel good as I wanted, because so much of it was just like, oh yeah, there's that painful thing we experience in these sort of non-traditional dynamics.
And we got a really good Oscar winning speech, again, like this is a term, not that he's gonna win an Oscar, but from Dan Levy. Levy.
Is it?
Levy.
You know what?
Dan.
No, he's
from Dan.
He can fucking correct us. He can tweet us and
comment. Yeah. But he has a really, really nice speech about like the sort of I guess like emotional and psychological context behind what you said, the sort of like fight or flight. Like where you are in your own personal journey. I've personally never come out to my parents as being in any way queer, and for them it's kind of a don't ask don't tell policy, and whatever,
yeah,
they can do them. It's one of those things, it's like we're never gonna understand each other, we're just gonna be like hey, and then you know have a nice meal together. Have you come out?
Yeah, I feel like a lot. My dad takes it more seriously now. I think for a long time, because like I identify as like pansexual or bisexual, and I like for me it was very much, I didn't think a lot about my queer identity because I knew I liked boys. So I was like able to put everything else in a box. Like I was like, oh, check one. Don't have to explore any of those other weird feelings anymore. Like, and my boyfriend through most of high school is out now is as a gay man. And it's, we joke a lot about how we both kind of covered for each other emotionally because we laugh. We had a lot of talks that were like, hey, isn't it, weird how puberty sometimes makes you attracted to the same sex? And then we'd be like, yeah, puberty's weird. Weird. Cool. Good thing we got each other.
Oh my God. Oh,
it's so much. I also was raised Baptist. So I have a lot of weird, like religious angst about my queer identity and things like that. And for a long time it was now I'm like, I feel almost stereotypical in how it's the only thing I ever talk about is how queer and poly I am because I just didn't talk about it for so long.
And I grew up Catholic and, I grew up Catholic for my whole life. And I went to, I also went to Catholic University. And it wasn't until I went to Catholic University that I met queer Catholics, like openly queer Catholics.
Yeah.
I'm like, how does that work? And actually one of them is a mutual friend of ours. I won't say their name, but it's just, it was something that just like blew my mind. Because like that's not something that would be accepted in South Carolina like ever,
right?
Which is where 18 years of my life.
I feel like I come out more as polyamorous now than I do as like queer, just encompassing. And I met my partner's parents before they knew who I was. And so some of this I really related to on a holiday, Thanksgiving, not a Christmas, but that, yeah, like was interacting with them and them not knowing who I was. And it was like, had all come together very comically. So I really felt that like thing where you're like, I'm gonna go make a point to connect with your dad. And the dad is like, who are you? Why is this very awkward queer girl talking to me family event.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, this whole, my favorite part of this whole movie was Kristen Stewart trying to act straight.
Yeah.
It was like Twilight great. All over again.
Again, it just made her care. It made her persona just make it, that just worked so well for that character.
Yeah, this is easily my favorite role that I've ever seen Kristen Stewart in. And obviously she's been in a lot. Her most notable, of course, being the Twilight series, which has, mixed validity in the film sphere, which is fine. The other one that she was just awful in was Snow White and the Huntsman.
Oh, I never saw that.
You don't need to.
No.
You're good. I liked her in Charlie's Angels.
I haven't seen that one yet, and I want to.
She's a fun, kick-ass kind of butch woman who's just like, I don't give a fuck. Think Abby from Happiest Season, but a super spy killer.
Nice.
Wasn't she in one of the serial killer movies, too?
American Ultra?
Yeah, she was in that. That was fun.
Something. I feel like I've seen her in some darker stuff. I liked her in this role. It's the first role where I was like, oh, I want to hang out with you. I want to go embarrass you at a drag show.
And just insanely sexy. Consistent.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh. Sorry. I had to make all of these noises. I'm gonna make more noises about that later. Oh man, remember her in Catch That Kid though?
Barely.
Oh,
I remember her from Zathura.
Oh yeah, she was in Zathura. But yeah, Catch That Kid. She was dope in that one. And that was when she was real little. Like she was like, what? She could be older than 15.
Yeah.
Along with Corbin Blue. But yeah, that's one of those like Disney, I think it was a Disney original. That just, oof, that one got me. Because of course, like, little kids being badass.
Yeah.
Let's see. Sure. We've got Mackenzie Davis as Harper.
I love who her in the fucking Terminator movie.
Oh. She was, yeah, like, I haven't seen anything.
She was a bad bitch in the Terminator movie. If you don't see any other Terminator movie, see that one. She is one of the Terminators, and or I guess she's like part Terminator or whatever. And she fucking is very physical in it, and she super kicks ass.
Nice.
It's pretty tight. And she was in the San Junipero episode of Black Mirror.
That's where I recognize her from.
Oh, wait, the one with the
lesbians.
She's not a lesbian. The palate
cleanser of its season.
I don't know what her sexual orientation is, but she's pretty, like, she plays really, I don't know, female masculine roles. I don't know what the term is, but she plays like tough bitches that don't give a shit about their gender really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh wow, she was in Princess Bride TV miniseries short.
That existed?
I guess. She played Princess Buttercup.
That I don't remember that happening, but that makes sense for her face. That's sounds like a good role for her.
Let's see. Oh my god, Mary Steenburgen, who is married to She's married to the fellow from Cheers. And from
he's so much fun.
Ted Danson. Yeah.
Oh.
Ted Danson. But yeah, because everything she just has this insanely kind demeanor and which just exudes in every role that she's in.
I loved her in Back to the Future 3.
Oh yeah. Oh my god, that was so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's newly in Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, which I love, like, as a musical nerd. Whew, that just scratches all my buttons, if you know what I mean.
Nice. I don't think I've watched that, but I know what show you're talking about. And then Victor Garber, I think he's queer in real life.
I think he is.
He came out.
Yeah.
Very cool.
He was Professor Callahan in Legally Blonde.
Yes.
Yep. Which, of course, oh, yeah, and he was in Titanic.
Was he?
Yeah, he's been around for a minute.
Yeah, he has. He was the dad. He was the king in the Brandy Cinderella.
The best Cinderella. The only Cinderella.
Yeah. He was Whoopi Goldberg's husband.
What about Ever After?
What about it?
I love it.
But it's not a musical that stars Brandy and Whitney Houston.
I don't get me wrong. I like that Cinderella a lot. That's definitely my favorite musical.
No, Ever After is good.
But Ever After. Oh my God. Like, how is a fish supposed to love a bird? Then we shall make you wings. Like, oh my God, it's so good. And Alison Brie, oh my God. I don't know why I kept forgetting that it's Alison Brie, which makes her even more Alison Brie because she's such an insanely good actress,
mm-hmm.
who is just a chameleon in such a good way. Because, like, usually with actors and actresses that I love, as much as I love Alison Brie, I'm just like, look at Alison Brie go. I love her so much. But she just played that role to the T.
Yeah, usually I see her in, like, quirky, cute girl roles, and then she was like, bad bitch mom, and I was like, oh no, I get it. Okay, she's good.
Well, because I mean because she's of course like is in Community, but her role in Glow is completely mm-hmm. different. She's also well, they're no longer doing BoJack Horseman, but she was Diane Nguyen in BoJack yeah. Horseman.
I know she got a lot of shit for playing a Vietnamese character, but like I think I have opinions on
yeah, that's
people
fair.
Playing Asian characters. I think she did, they tried to make it right by like exploring that Vietnamese side of that character. Mm-hmm. But she should have done what Kristen Bell did and just given up her role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a real Vietnamese person.
Probably. But in any case, also in Mad Men, played a completely different character. what was it? Horse Girl played a completely different character. Anyway, I love Alison Brie so much. She's got big ol' eyeballs.
Mary Holland as the Jane was super fun, and I'm glad they named her Jane, because you've got Harper and Sloan and then just Jane.
And she co-wrote the movie, right?
Did she?
That's pretty exciting. I think so. I think she co-wrote the movie. I love Jane was maybe my favorite.
Oh, yeah. She made the movie.
Yeah. A wonderful, great character. Got that character understood.
I always liked it when she popped up, and then I was always rooting for her the entire time.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of these actresses are really tall people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's see, both, you know, Jane and Harper were like over 5'8". Like, they're 5'9", 5'10". Oh, wow. Of course, like, Dan Levy is a giant.
Man, he's such, I love Schitt's Creek so much. I love Schitt's Creek so much.
Yeah. Yeah, he just looks like a big gay version of his dad. I love it.
Ugh. I just always enjoy him on screen.
Yeah. Oh my god. And he does have a lot of depth. Like, because he has such a strong comedic presence, but he also has this earnestness that to back it up. We've also got Aubrey Plaza, of course.
Oh, I love her.
There is a scene from Legion where she is like dancing in this medical chair and like half of a business suit, and it is amazing, and I just love her so much.
I need to watch that show.
Well, because you know how she got her start, of course, on Parks and Recreation when she was fairly young.
The first time I ever saw her was in a World of Warcraft commercial.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But, Parks and Rec was her big break, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she auditioned for Parks and Rec, originally for the Rashida Jones character. What was her name? Ann Perkins. So she originally auditioned for Ann Perkins. And... like, she was, like, you know, Aubrey Plaza to a T the entire time. And the casting director, like, calls up the director, and he's like, I just met the weirdest person I've met in my entire life. We have to write her in.
That's so funny. And that's, I wish I had a brand like that. I saw her in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, because she had her, she was, like, the foul-mouthed friend?
This is weird, but one of my favorite things to watch her in is interviews with Stephen Colbert specifically. Uh-huh. They just have like this really great chemistry, and I think that something about him just like really makes her feel comfortable going full weird, and it's delightful. I did not know that Parks and Rec story, but that makes so much sense.
Oh yeah, and she actually, so she's been in so much stuff, and she's always delightful to watch. But I feel like her most Aubrey Plaza role, after Parks and Rec was Life After Beth.
I don't think
if you ever saw that.
Yeah.
It. But yeah, she like just got to play this zombie crazy woman, and it was just so much like right up her alley of just being cute and creepy. And weird, and just be able to do like off the wall bonkers, just like gags. But yeah, it was interesting seeing her in a role that wasn't necessarily comedic.
Yeah, it was cool,
I think
though.
This is one of the most genuine roles I've seen her in. Like, there wasn't any, she wasn't like
fucking grandpas and shit.
Yeah, no, there wasn't. Yeah, there wasn't. It was like, there wasn't any like shtick of like, like personality shtick. Like, it was just like her very vulnerable, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah. Well, and Aubrey Plaza is also a bisexual, which is pretty neat. It makes a lot of sense. Let's see. We've got Anna Gasteyer.
Oh, Anna Gasteyer from SNL.
She's from SNL. And she was only in there kind of like here and there. There was a smattering of her. Of being a political person? It's very unclear.
Donating to a campaign, I think. I don't know. Victor Garber had a career fever. Burl Moseley. That's a tight ass name.
Bro Moseley? Oh, Burl Moseley.
Yeah, like a burly.
As guy. The husband?
Yes. I don't think I've ever seen him in anything. Let's see, Crazy Ex.
Oh, sorry. That was a gasp for a different actor. Oh. And what I realized I know him in.
What?
It was Jake McDormand, who played the overly happy ex-boyfriend. He's Jeff from What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh!
Yeah.
Fun.
I've seen him as a character actor. Ooh, he was in Aquamarine.
No!
Yes. Because I was
thinking
as a character actor. Let's see. He was in Aquamarine. He was in the Greek TV series. He was in Are You There, Chelsea? He was in Shameless. Limitless. He was a dude in Limitless from Limitless.
And that's unfortunate because I've seen him. He did a great job in this one. I loved him in What We Do in the Shadows. He just also, unfortunately, just has a forgettable face.
That's why it makes him a great character actor. He's not going to steal the show.
Yeah, because he just looks like a white dude.
He just looks like a dude.
Like if you mesh together, dudes that look like guys, and then an alien come with a composite of all that those images, that would be him. I feel like.
Yeah, pretty much.
He looks like an ex-boyfriend.
Of yours? Or just in general?
No, just in general. Just in a movie realm.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I think that's about it for the cast. And of course, Clea DuVall, who I mentioned earlier, was in But I'm a Cheerleader. And of course, the Leftovers, Left Behind, I never saw it.
Also, props to the twins.
Oh, yeah, those creepy twin kids.
Those creepy, creepy kids.
Are they real twins? Faculty, sorry. Were they real twins?
I don't know.
But I loved them. And yeah. I just thought they needed to be, their creepiness needed to be acknowledged and applauded.
They are. Yeah.
This could have been a very different movie, easily.
So, the boy whose name is Anise Ndobe and Asiya Ndobe.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing their names correctly. I hope I am, but I tried.
Yeah. Nice. But
yeah, they're adorable and creepy. I love it. They're actual, I love a creepy kid.
They're actual brother and sister.
Yeah.
Nice. Is this Clea DuVall's first time directing? No. Well, she's directed some stuff, but Tegan and Sarah.
Love something. Tegan and Sarah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's about it for cast and tidbits. Do y'all find anything especially interesting?
No, let me see if there's a fun factoid or a review.
Oh, from the IMDb. There was something to be desired overall from the film, but again, I think 90% of it I was having and the comedy was so strong in this too. Yeah. Oh, and Jinx Monsoon and a Bande La Creme.
Yeah, they had a fun little spot in it. I think this movie was a nice, fun movie.
In the very, very beginning, giving the Christmas lights tour.
Oh, Michelle Buteau.
Yeah, Michelle Buteau made a really great, fun little cake. She had some fun, really quick, good one-liners to open it up.
Oh, you're definitely right, though. It says, Clea DuVall wrote the film as an autobiography. She has said that she wrote it so she could see her own experiences play out on screen.
Yeah.
And it took place in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and wrapped in February 2020, just before the film industry was shuttered due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into it. I know we spent a lot of time on that cast, but it was a beefy cast.
It was beefy. Yes, it was.
Beefy cast. Such wonderful talent. There was very few times where the acting took me out of the movie at all or the story at all. I was at rapt attention. Mm-hmm. So it starts off the movie with these like little Christmas card scenes, like these like painted Christmas cards that kind of like depict the beginning of this relationship between Abby and Harper, who are a lesbian couple living in Pittsburgh.
I think so.
Yeah, they live in Pittsburgh, right? Probably. So yeah, it's like about them like falling in love and moving in together, and there's like just like cute little pain scenes, and it's just a visual way to give you context about the background of their relationship. And then when we get into real time, we're on these Candy Cane Lane tours. I wonder if that's a real thing. I guess that happens. I know there are like neighborhoods that are famous like for the dumbass Christmas lights and blow up dolls they put up every year. Not that I'm giving shit, but also.
You hate the blow up-y things. It looks like there's a tour in Los Angeles.
Nice.
There is a Candy Cane Lane in Dubois Town, Pennsylvania.
Dubois Town.
I love that stuff. I did not relate to Kristen Stewart's like kind of about it, but that's also like me overcompensating for holidays being hard. I will decorate the shit out of everything. I went and got a tree today.
Oh, but yeah, so this entire tour, which, you know, looks pretty fun overall. Kristen Stewart's not into it. Abby's not into it. And she isn't a huge Christmas person. So Harper is like, ooh, let's do something magical and whimsical. And they just, like, climb on somebody's fucking house. Like, they climb to the roof of somebody's fucking house and then, like, watch it from above and have a cute little romantic moment. They're like, hey, you kids, get off the roof! And they're like, oh, no!
I really like that this couple was doing, like, a freaky-ass role play of, like, Mrs. Claus and a reindeer.
It's the best. That was such a good little moment. I also just, like, I feel like what happens, because I just want to put a pin in the fact that Abby falls off of the roof because of the situation that Harper has put her in. And I feel like that's a real tone setter.
Yeah.
For the rest of the movie.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
But she falls on a snowman, a blow up snowman.
Well, yeah, see, there you go, Scarlett. Those have some use now. Bet you don't need them as much.
They're not decorations, they're fire escapes.
and then, you know, they're drunk and they're having fun. And Harper's like, I want to wake up to you on Christmas morning, like, come home with me. And Christmas. Stewart's all like, I don't know. She's like, come on. And she's like, okay. So basically she agrees to go home with, so she's never met her Harper's parents ever, and is like, you know what? In the morning, she's like, you know what? I'm excited about this. Like, I'm going to do this. And then Harper's like, oh no, what have I done? Which is a feeling I definitely get, because I convinced someone to move to Austin with me because they're going through a hard time. And I was like, well, move with me. Like, just move in. Who cares? What are your troubles? Like, and that guy was, I was for sure very, very drunk. She calls me up the next morning. He's like, yeah, let's do it. And I'm like, do what?
Oh, man. My grandma did that to me. She was like, move in. And then the next day she was like, no, you can't move in. I was like, but I'm going to pick up my life and take care of you because you're old. And then... she died.
Oh.
No, it's fine. She sucks.
Oh, okay, fair. But yeah.
I've definitely been on that end of it too, of like, I've had people I've dated get drunk and invite me to family events, and then the next day be like, what do you mean you're going to my sister's baby shower?
Oh my God. But I mean, it ended up that roommate did not work out. So I've also been on both sides of the situation. But, you know, she's an orphan, and she's got nowhere else to spend for Christmas.
Yeah, she would have just been home alone without the girlfriend she lives with.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. What else would she be doing?
Yeah. That's sus.
I know. And yeah, so now she's stoked. We get introduced to Dan Levy's character.
Yes.
John?
Wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I love him. I want to be his best friend.
Mm-hmm. yeah, he's just like a sassy friend who I guess they meet up at a coffee shop, as you do with your GBFs. And he's taking care of her pets. What kind of pets do they have?
She is a pet sitter.
She's a pet sitter. He jumps in for her.
That's her job, is pet sitting?
Yep.
I forgot that that's a job.
Is she a student as well, though? Don't they say at one point she's like pursuing her PhD? So it's like it's a keep the lights on. It's a gig.
Yeah, she's like in museum studies or something like that. Something nerdy and cool.
Nice.
I also like his running gag about how he tracks everyone.
Okay. Also, I do that though. I track my best friend and I track my sister and I track my mom. I don't know, because what if they go missing or something happens to them? Then it's like, I know where they are.
Yeah, I track my husband, I track my sister, and that's it. But they also can track me back, so it's like an even exchange. I don't do it to keep up tabs with them. I just check to see if my sister's at home before I bother her. Be like, no, she's at work or school. Or my husband, like, if he breaks down and I can't find him.
Oh, I'm not tracking anyone, but I share my location with, like, my dad has my location. Yeah. My partner and our pod has my location.
Yeah, no, that's what I do. I don't, is there another way to track people?
I think illegally.
Okay, well, that's...
You just see you casually install an app on their phone when they're not looking, and then you...
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Well, you know, I guess Dan has one of two options here. Either he shares his location flagrantly with the people he sleeps with, or is very good into a creepy amount of hacking.
I think the latter.
Oh, no. Oh, Dan. Oh, and then they go shopping for, guess what? An engagement ring.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Dan's like, you shouldn't get married because marriage is garbage, which is legitimate.
Okay. That's your opinion.
I'm all about the marriage. I hated the ring.
The ring was really plain.
Really?
Plain rings, though. That's just me.
He was like, oh, no. And I was like, yeah, that ring's terrible. And he was like, no, the institution. And I was like, I guess.
Yeah, my wedding band is like super duper tiny. I don't have it on right now because I'm in my house. But my engagement ring is also like an heirloom. And it's just a marquee diamond. So it was supposed to be a diamond. It's not a diamond. That's a touchy subject. But the wedding band is tiny and real.
I did. Oh, man. I was at a socially distanced bar where there's like a lot of like picnic tables outside. And just the one, there was a picnic table like kind of like next to us. And by next to us, I mean 6 feet apart at least. And there was just this woman, just like, she had just gotten engaged.
Oh, that bitch.
And you could see that rock from the other side of the dark outdoor bar.
Good for her.
Just like, just like every chance she got, just like put it in the most obvious location on her head or body. And it's like, you know what? Good for you. You got that. You earned that.
When Derek and I were at like a, it was like a wedding type thing, and there was a professional photographer, I was standing on his right, and then I went, stop, no, before you take this picture, let me get on his left. And then I did like a laughing motion, and I put my hand across his chest so you could see my ring. And I was like, but like holding him. And I was like, now you can take the picture. I was like, you need to see this fucking ring. I just got it resized to my finger.
Nice. Oh, so K-Stu, Abby, wants to ask Harper's dad for his blessing.
Which is so sweet.
That is sweet. That
is sweet. But is an homage to a very, you know, sexist, long-begotten tradition and culture. But, you know, it's cute.
I told Derek that I wanted him to ask my dad for permission, and then my dad would give him my great-grandmother's ring as like a, here, I approve. But also I told him, I was like, look, I don't need anybody's permission to get married. I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want because it's me. I just want you to at least like let my dad know that you're brave enough to talk to him about it when he has like a gun strapped to his hip the entire time.
See, it's kind of, that's, I've told my partner, I'm like, I want you to ask my dad, but I've also told my dad, hey, you know, somewhere in this time, you're probably going to get asked soon, and it doesn't really matter what you say because I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, my dad is like very aware that it's a courtesy to him that we're doing it.
Yeah. If that ever happens to me, I want the person that I, you know, get engaged to ask my sister. She's the person who's the most important person to me, and she will always be. And if she doesn't accept this person to my life, into our life, then that's maybe not the person, you know?
Word.
That's what I'm going to do. She's the best and also the worst, but also the best. Okay. Moving on. I know we're still at the beginning of all this. We haven't even gotten on that road trip, baby. They're on the road to, like, her parents' house, which is, like, in a small town somewhere in Pennsylvania. And just, like, she's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I've been lying to you for at least 6 months when I told you that I came out to my parents and told them I was dating you. That isn't true. I haven't done either of those things. And she's like, cool, what are you going to tell your parents, like, who I am to you? Like, I just told you that you were an orphan roommate. Like, oh, cool, thanks. Yeah. Ugh. She also, like, makes a deal. It's like, aren't they going to think it's strange that you're taking home another woman for a holiday? And, like, again, here I am watching this at my best friend's mom's house. Mm-hmm. Being like, no, it's not weird.
Totally fine.
5 days, how bad can it be?
Famous last words.
Exactly. And of course, the first family member introduced to is Mary Steenburgen. Wait, her name is Tipper?
Mm-hmm.
Did I know that?
I don't. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, no. Tipper is a very strange name.
Yeah, it's like Tipper Gore. I think it's like old white lady name.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good old money name.
Tipper. Well, they're first introduced to her, who's taking all these pictures for the family, or I guess dad is running for mayor. He's already on the city council. We find they're very buttoned up. They're very straight laced. Mm-hmm. We're introduced to a sister who's got crazy eyes. So I think as an audience, we don't really know what to make of her at first. Yeah. Because she's a lot all at once. And she's you know, really, really quirky. What is her name? Jane.
Yeah.
She's really quirky. She's like, I'm working on this, like, really complicated sci-fi novel. And, oh, God, what else?
I think mostly, like, the first impression you get from her is that she's, like, a lot. And that you can also see that because she is a lot, she's always pushed to the side in her family. Like, she's not the writer for this fancy newspaper, and she's not the mother that's used to be a lawyer that now makes gift baskets. She's just, like, this, like, crazy intense middle child.
Was she middle, or was she the youngest?
She has middle child energy for sure.
I said that, too, earlier. I said, oh, you know, she's got really intense middle child energy, and then I was like, I think she's the youngest. I really relate to her, like, I'm weird and creative and I wear corduroy skirts energy.
Yeah. But I think she's, like, the best part of the entire movie. So throughout this whole introduction sequence, Kristen Stewart has to act straight. Mm-hmm. And the sister's, like, there's, like, a picture of, who was it? Like, Josh Hartnett or something?
Oh, yeah, it was Josh Hartnett on the wall.
And she's like, oh, isn't he so dreamy? And Kristen Stewart's like, yeah, sure, love that man. Jaw.
I like how Jane, like, basically makes out with the poster.
Oh, so funny. Oh, yeah, and then we're not introduced to Alison Brie's character quite yet. But they talk about her, like, they, like, talk downly about her.
Condescendingly?
Condescendingly, because she had to drop out of law school to
make
gift baskets?
She was a, her and her husband were lawyers, and they gave up their career to make gift baskets.
Oh,
which that honestly, that sounds like, yeah, honestly, that sounds tight. I would love to make gift baskets for people. That's like my dream job.
Yeah.
They probably have all the connections to sell their, like, to really overprice them and sell them to, like, really, like, really bougie office connects. I love their little gift basket empire.
Yeah. Into it. They're small business owners now. Okay.
They do it well. Oh, yeah. And then she has to tell them, it's like, oh, do you have a boyfriend? It's like, oh, I have an ex-boyfriend who was a milkman. There were so many good, like, little comedic moments. Like, it was just, it was a very strong script. And I think the script also flowed in a natural way. And weirdly enough, I think a lot of it had to do with just, like, the natural awkwardness and charm that came out through the actors as well. So they go to dinner, and apparently they invited... So why I say apparently, like I'm gossiping. Apparently, they invited Harper's ex-boyfriend without even telling her. Oh, the scandal. So yeah, it real awkward. Oh, and then like she's, Kristen Stewart's like sitting in like a smaller chair. So she just like looks like a child next to everyone. Yeah, so this is, we find out the sister has been working the, Jane has been working on the novel for like 10 years. The parents end up even calling the ex-boyfriend's son. And at this point, Kristen Stewart, I need to call her Abby. I'll call her by her name. Abby is getting really frustrated, and she's like, okay, cool. So I've been pushed aside. I've had to act straight. And now I have to just like see this dude just being flaunted in front of being like me and the entire family and, you know, try to hit on my girl. And so then, like Harper takes her back to the bathroom and, like, makes out with her, calms her down. On the way out from the bathroom, guess who they run into?
Aubrey Plaza, the ex-girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. She's so cute. She's so cute. Oh, yeah, and they also talk down about Aubrey Plaza's character, Riley, because of her lifestyle choices. She's lesbian. But yeah, you know, they find cute little stolen moments here and there, just so Harper can kind of like placate the situation, but privately, while Kristen Stewart's suffering in public.
Oh,
I know. Oh, they're introduced to the Allison Breeze character, Sloan, and the twins, who are super duper creepy. Yeah. Oh my God. These guys are, may as well be in The Shining.
Yeah.
But they're boy and girl twins, I guess.
They could have made that movie a very different movie.
Yeah. That could have easily been a serial killer movie starring these horrifying looking twins. But it's no wonder, you know, they are the way they are, you know, because they're parents. So. Yeah. Because they're getting divorced. Anyway. They go to the skating rink, they skate around, and there's this really intense moment between Harper and her sister Sloan where they're like, we're gonna race. It's like, even though like they haven't skated in a while, neither of them are very good at it, they're like, we're gonna race. And like Jane's like, there they go again. And yeah, it's like just like the hatred and the like competition in their eyes, just such an intense moment. And yeah, they both do terribly. That was weird. I never dared to compete with my sister growing up, because every time I did, she would either A, cheat so she would win, or if I naturally won, she would get so upset that she would hurt me.
And she's an older sister, right?
Yeah, she doesn't like losing. She's very competitive.
My sister's 13 years younger than me, so we don't compete.
Yeah, all of my siblings are like 9 to 14 years younger than me.
Full so siblings?
I've got 4 younger siblings. Well, I have a stepbrother who's only 5 years younger than me, but the rest of them are like, what, 17, 18, and 12. So they're significantly younger than me. So there's not really a competition dynamic there.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh man. But so I definitely related to that moment though, where it's just like the determination. But yeah, that's
I relate
that's...
to that moment as a performer for sure.
Oh, are you a competitive performer?
Yeah. Just like, and it's a skating rink, so it doesn't matter. It's like getting pissy in an open mic. It's like no one cares. You're like, let's go. I go quicker than, like, whatever it is.
Oh yeah, no, that's always been my biggest downfall is not being as competitive as other people. I'm just like, I'm here chilling.
Be a fun cheerleader. I don't think.
So mom, there's this recurring thing too about like the mom wanting to get like the perfect picture.
Yeah.
And of course, like this is like one of those sort of like kind of like shoehorned in, like this is like indicative of a larger thing. It's like she wants a perfect family portrait, but none of the photos turns out the ways that she wants them to. So this is the first foray into that first picture. She's like, it's not right. Meh. And then they go to this business politics event. Do we know what this is?
It's like a dinner. Like a donor dinner, like a
holiday schmoozing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Exactly
what the fuck it is.
And I guess so the dad's like, hey, come along, Harper. I need you to talk to people because you're a writer for a thing.
I think she has the most credits. Like, as a daughter, she has like the coolest job. She's like the most upstanding and perfect. Cause like Sloan is like, Dad, do you need me to come and talk? He's like, no, you just go chill with your husband and kids, you gift basket maker. Cause you're not a lawyer anymore.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I think he got Harper because she has the most quote unquote credits. Like, she's a writer for a prestigious newspaper.
They're like social equivalent of making her play the piano and sing a song.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, I always had to sing my relatives a song every Christmas. It's real fun. But I'm also a show off. Also, all right, quick break. It's the happiest season of all. I had to do that at least once in this podcast, and that seemed like a good time. But yeah, we also see that Allison Brie's character, Sloan, hates her kids, her life, and is just constantly boxed out and put down by her parents. Kristen Stewart's also feeling this this drag, orders herself a sexy vodka neat, mm-hmm. and somebody tries to hit on her. She's like, and like she like for half a second pretends to be interested and is like, no, can't, nah. the ex asks the Harper out. We also like meet some like high school friends of hers that aren't important or have any lines, I guess.
Yeah, they don't. They're just there for a joke. Like the one girl is like commenting about how hot Harper's ex-boyfriend is.
Yeah, it's just like super hollow. And
yeah,
here are the friends you see when you come home.
Ugh. Oh man. Yeah, I haven't seen high school friends since high school.
Man, that must be really like painful, because like she didn't even tell her friends she was gay.
Yeah,
you would have think she would tell one friend that she was gay.
I thought actually a couple times in the movie that maybe she was going to come out to the ex-boyfriend, and like I kind of wanted that, like just that kind of like vulnerability with someone. Mm-hmm. But it just, that entire part of her life was just shut out from her identity, kind of.
Yeah. There was also like a half second in that last party scene. There's a lot of parties that go on. that last party scene where like Dan's like, what up? Or John's character, John, is like, what up to the ex-boyfriend? And it's like, hey, I ship that all day. and so this is the first time that she comes outside and like calls Dan, is like, Dan, none of this is cool. Oh, and he's like, it's all right. Also, I didn't kill your fish.
But he definitely did.
Absolutely murdered all of those fishes.
Aubrey comes out and she's just looking like a spicy little tamale, which is a phrase that has nothing to do with her Latina heritage. I'm going to keep going. sorry. She compliments Kristen Stewart's blazer, which I'm pretty sure is like a standard code for covert lesbians.
Yeah.
It's just her letting Abby know that she saw her.
But it's also like it's not like a creepy interaction either. It's just like more like, oh hey, another person like me.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of consistent throughout their interactions.
Yeah, I think later it comes up when she's like, I can relate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my friend that I was watching this with, like, was trying to ship Aubrey's character and Kristen's character the whole movie. And I'm just like, no, but that's like not the point. I mean, like, yeah, for sure. Like, no.
Why can't they just be a poly throuple?
Oh. Yes. One, yes. That's all I'm wanting in all of these movies. But also, I went back and forth on it because that seemed to be the consensus for most people who watched it was like, oh, they should have got together. And even when we were done, I was like, they're going to be together eventually. Like, the timeline of this movie, Abby and Harper, they work through it. If we just disregard all of the little clips in the credits, like, maybe they're going to end up together. But I really liked that it was just sort of like this platonicness between them, and there didn't have to be that tension of, like, maybe she'll end up with someone else for them to, like, work out their stuff. Like, I thought that was nice.
Well, I think it's also very odd in movies in general to have, like, two characters who are gay and of the same sex that are just friends. Like, in so many movies, like, it's like, cool, there's two gay characters they have to be romantically interested in.
They also used it as a device of conflict, because Harper is like, Abby, what were you doing with Aubrey Plaza's character? Why were y'all hanging out? She's like, you ditched me. Someone who could understand me. But yeah, I liked how they kept it platonic, but kind of still used it to throw back in her face.
Yeah. Well, because they're both insanely attractive. I mean, like, if you see any two attractive people hanging out, no matter what, you're going to be like, oh, they fucking? there's a weird speech that the guy gives, but I don't really care. When they're in bed that night in her parents' house, they like have like cute little selfies, and they're like, what are you doing? So Kristen Stewart tries to like sneak upstairs to get that titty, if you know what I mean. Get the little titties. She's almost caught, so she literally hides in a closet. And the mom like catches her in the closet. She's like, what are you doing in here? She's like, I was sleepwalking. And she's like, oh yeah, I get it. I take too much, like one time I took too much Ambien and bought a racehorse online. Again, so many like A+ jokes and bits in here. Oh,
that sort of mothering attitude she has too, where she's just like, well, all right, let's just get you to bed. Like, her exasperation throughout the movie is so wonderful.
It's very mom. It's very mommy.
It's very mommy.
So Harper... Mom-ish. There you go. Harper ends up sneaking downstairs and sleeping with K-Stu for the night. And they had this cute little moment. Does this count as the first kiss? Does this count as a romantic kiss, or is this just like getting it on?
Oh man, they kiss in the beginning of the movie too.
Oh yeah, they did kiss in the beginning. They kiss in that alleyway after she falls off a roof.
I mean, like, they're partners, so they kiss a lot. But like, I rated two of the kisses because like they were like moment kisses.
Yeah. I guess. What did you rate it?
This was a moment kiss for me.
It wasn't?
No, it was more of a circumstantial, like, let's get it on. Like, I want that titty.
Oh, I forgot to rate the kisses.
That's okay. I think I rate, wait, maybe I didn't rate. I know I at least rated one. Oh, we'll get to it.
I do remember The Last Kiss. Like, I can see it. I can visualize it. I'll rate that one, but we can get to the last one.
Well, because, yeah, it's a couple. Like, it's different. There's no, like, will they, won't they? It's more like they are. They're, like, consistently.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so in the morning, you know, while they're in bed together, being all frisky, the entire fucking family decides to barge in because Kristen Stewart's staying in the basement where I guess stuff is stored. And
it's Jane's old room.
Oh my God. That was so funny. Because what did she say? She was like,
yeah, night terrors.
Night terrors.
I just relate to Jane so much.
Oh yeah, so it's the mom, the dads, and like the two creepy ass twins who end up seeing Harper in the crack in the doorway. Oh, the whole thing. I guess Harper has to go with her dad to do something. Anyway, there's a situation that occurs where Sloane and Abby are kind of like forced together to go shopping. So yeah.
For white elephant gifts?
Yeah. So.
And to take the twins to Santa.
Oh, that makes sense. So yeah, so the twins are there. Sloane goes off to do whatever. So basically, she's with the children that she was just saddled with, who she met yesterday.
Yeah.
In a department, or I guess a mall department store, and the kids like slip in a necklace in her bag, and she goes out of the door, which immediately goes off. Well, first of all, it's so rare that they put like any kind of like beepy device on jewelry.
And
like,
there was not one on that necklace.
And there wasn't one on the necklace, first of all. Second of all, even if it did beep, like they would not be allowed to like touch you. They could be like, hey, is there anything in your bag? And you say no. And they like, there's nothing they can do. Like, I looked up laws on this for, you know, no reason.
just use like research.
Just like, you know, just like general.
A role research.
Role. And even if it wasn't, it's probably not, you know, it's not stealing if it's from a corporation. Let's just.
Exactly.
Let's just throw that out there. It's only stealing if it's from a small business.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's just no such thing legally as ethical consumerism under capitalism. So it's like. Yeah. All department stores have like shrinkage, like millions of dollars of like shrinkage built into their. So you know what? You're doing them a favor if you know you would want to. Not that I would want to shop.
Loss prevention is a job too.
Never do that.
Never.
Yeah. I would anyway, never steal from Walmart.
So she gets caught by the mall cops, who bring her to the mall cop interrogation room to ask her about the necklace.
I used to be friends with a bunch of mall cops. Some of them are tough.
I guess because they have two of the comedians. There's two comedians who play the mall cops. What's that one lady's name who was in the wrong
seat? Lauren Lapkus?
Yeah.
Yeah. She did her. I just feel like it was just like, I was like, why is this scene happening? Why isn't it this yet? I think it was just like to have a place for them to do a cute bit.
Yeah.
I think so too. Yeah. It was just very much them being them.
Yeah.
Like Michelle Buteau in the beginning. She just got to be her.
Yeah. So, which is fine. Timothy Simmons and Lauren Lapkus. Anyway, so this was, I guess this was a thing where it's like, oh, she did something wrong. So, because she got caught doing a little dirty, which she didn't actually do because it was the twins doing evil things, Abby wasn't able to go to the dinner that night.
Yeah.
And she just has to go have dinner by herself, I guess. Yeah, and
going to entertain herself.
And runs into Aubrey Plaza. And they go get drinks together at a drag bar with Ben De La Creme and Jinx Monsoon, who I love them both so much. I recognize them immediately, too. But anyway, sorry. I can go into drag all day. They're fantastic. So Aubrey tells a story about how she and Harper were best friends growing up, like inseparable growing up. And when they were teenagers, their friendship developed into something else. And they were together for a while, but when they almost got found out, Harper ended up outing Aubrey and saying that Aubrey was obsessed with her. So she outed Aubrey to their entire school. They made her life a living hell for the rest of the school time. People were like, oh, poor Harper. And she started dating a dude to kind of like cover her tracks. So, oh, this was such spicy context. And it makes so much sense. Like, yeah, because Harper is a shitty person and has been acting like a shitty person this entire movie.
Riley was like really in their like social world that's obviously so important to Harper. It was like really ostracized too, because there's that, it like kind of brings back to that, the comment that Harper's mom had made earlier about her lifestyle. And
yeah, she's a doctor, but she's a lesbian. Oh no. She has her own life choice business. It's not a choice, but she has her own life business. That's her own business. Yeah.
I don't know why she hangs out with her parents still. Well, I guess maybe they're
just cool and like whatever.
But to still be in that like culture and society, like where people just like talk about her and look down on her and she can't relate to anybody, that sucks.
She seems like she very much just like kind of passes through there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, it's Christmas, it's whatever.
But then finally Harper calls up Abby and she's all like, all right, we're done with the dinner, now we're getting drinks at the super fratty bar, which was literally called Fratty's.
Fratty's.
Ugh. She has like a drink or two, but then, you know, Harper's hanging around all of her shitty school friends and her ex-boyfriend, and it's just like, you know, it's looking like high school 2.0, and she's like, all right, I'm gonna, all these, is there anything wrong with the straights? The straights are acting crazy. I'm gonna go home. She wakes up the next morning and is like, oh yeah, so she leaves without Harper. Harper's like, oh, I'm gonna stay, is that cool? And she's like, yeah, okay. Harper is out late with her ex-boyfriend having close encounter talks. And in the morning, Abby's like, hey, are you okay? You didn't get in until 2 a.m. She's like, you're smothering me.
Yeah.
Just like gaslights the shit out of her and is like super defensive and shitty. And is like, oh, I need some space. All right. Yeah. This is the moment that I was like, I'm done. I'm fucking, like, I would be fucking out of that house. Yeah, it was just such a shitty move. Yeah, at this point, I am absolutely done with Harper.
A lot of gaslighting going on from Harper.
Oh, I hate it so much. And every time K-Stu gets too upset, she's like, oh, it's cool. Like, let me kiss you.
And Harper, like, kind of like, let's just acknowledge that Abby, like, had to get somebody to fill in on her job to be there. Like, was going to work. But at the beginning, whenever they first realized, like, she's like, I didn't come out. And she's like, why did you invite me? She's like, you were so excited. You were so happy. I was just trying to, you know, I didn't want to be a bummer. So you can't be a bummer now.
Ugh. And she's like, this is what you signed up for. She's like, no, you told me when we were almost here.
Yeah, yeah.
Super gaslighty. Oh, I hate it so much. Yeah, I would be the fuck out of there.
Fucking.
She calls Dan. Yeah, she's like, she like looks up the price of an Uber like back to Pittsburgh, and it's like $1,000. She calls Dan. She's just like, I don't know what to do. And he's like, okay, I gotta think about this. Like, hangs up. There's like some other like little scenes where they're shopping for stuff and like more context of the family being more shitty. Kristen Stewart, the mom, accuses her of stealing her brooch in the most shitty way. Oh, this is so shitty. She tries explaining to them again that she didn't steal it, but nobody believes her. And Harper is being all squirrely. Oh, so before this, she had gone out with Aubrey, because I guess Harper had to do something. So she, like, went out with Aubrey again, like, on the daytime just to, I guess, like, shop or do whatever. White
elephant shop, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And Aubrey, I guess Harper had saw her with Aubrey and throws that in her face.
Mm-hmm.
But probably later on. So now is the party, like their annual Christmas Eve party. The twins sing a super creepy song.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love the twins.
Aubrey and Kristen hang out. out on our, this is the scene where Kristen just looks obnoxiously sexy. Boy, oh boy.
Oh my God. Yes. Just that outfit.
And her makeup too is just so good. She looks so good in the dark lip. Oh yeah. I have like usually like I'm reading people to filth like for like wardrobe. I wasn't upset with a whole lot.
It was great. I loved it. It was like, I mean, maybe if I needed to be critical, you could say it's a little stereotypical, but I thought it was wonderful and I loved it. And I knew who their characters were.
Yeah.
It's like people.
I had a comment kind of up top, but then I retracted, which was Kristen Stewart's hair looked a little noodly for me, but it grew on me. I don't know why it looked noodly, but then it just made more sense.
The way it was, it did look like a little ramen-y. It was just the way that it was curled or wavied. I guess it's a curl. It's a white girl curl. And the crispiness looking of it.
Yeah.
Too much gel.
Not too much gel, but that's okay. I think that also kind of went with her character.
I liked the brown under and the blonde on top. That was cool. That was like a nice little hairstyle color choice.
Aubrey hilariously acknowledges that Kristen is not paying attention because she's just looking at her, at what's her name, Harper, talking to her ex, all chummy like, which is like, again, another freaking slap in the face. Like, Kristen was so close to leaving a second ago and is like so down to still leave. Homegirl doesn't care. Like, ugh. And then guess who shows up?
Who?
Dan! Oh, and he's Dan. So cute. Dan Levy, or John is his character name.
And Dan John.
Dan John. And then the mom is like, oh, is this your ex-boyfriend?
The milkman.
The milkman! And he tries to put on a straight voice. And it's so funny. And you can, like, see that it's just so comedic, but it's, like, actively painful for him to, like, act straight for more than a minute and a half. So basically, she just gets super frustrated with everything. What? But did she discover anything? Oh, it's because she had to keep acting straight. And he was just like, you shouldn't have to do this. This is real dumb.
Yeah.
So she marches her ass over to Harper and is like, Harper, it's over. I'm done. Just fucking leaves. Like a goddamn
breaks up with her.
Yeah.
Valid.
And then everybody was just like, yes, good. You should. I would have done that 5 scenes ago.
Yeah.
Oh. Harper just reels her back in with her goddamn Oscar-winning speech about not wanting to lose her parents because she's gay and that they're competing for their love and she's expected to be the golden child. And it's like, cool. Wah, 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 wah.
Which, wait, I just want to say, like, all of that is fine. Like, I think had the situation been Harper being like, I'm not ready to come out yet. I'm not ready to bring you home. And, like, it just been upfront about that from the top. Okay. Yeah, totally. You should have control over that narrative. I don't think that it's, like, especially, like, I don't know. I think it's, like, culturally, there. I know a lot of people who don't come out because of, like, cultural stuff.
Oh,
and, like,
no. I that wasn't. Makes, the yeah, families yeah, yeah, were yeah, because yeah. of that. It was because, like, yeah, yeah, it's yeah, not an excuse no, I just to hurt say, people.
For sure. But, like, at this point where we're at, it's just, like, come on, you've lied for 6 months and now you put her in the situation and now you're asking her to lie too. And you're, yeah, I mean, it's terrible, terrible.
Yeah, I just, because
she's a dirtbag.
I'm of the possibly controversial opinion that your past, your experience should not dictate how you treat other people.
Yo, absolutely, for sure.
Like that. I don't, I like, there shouldn't be excuses as to why you treat people shitty. You just shouldn't treat people shitty.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I just, like, wanted, like, I just wanted, like, I guess, distinguish that, like, the criticism isn't, oh, you don't want to come out. Like, okay, like, get that. Doesn't mean you get to gaslight everybody and make them feel crazy.
Yeah. Y'all, whose dog is barking? Is that yours, Holly? Oh, no. It's your dog.
No,
everybody got dogs.
She is very passionate of feelings about coming out.
I know.
It wasn't
super in your own time.
Yeah. So I was, God, the Oscar winning speech was, I think, supposed to be sympathetic towards Harper. Just made me hate her even more.
Yeah.
I did like the line. John was like, her not coming out is not about you. It's about her. Or like,
yes,
she's not trying to hide you. Sure. She's trying to hide herself or whatever, whatever. I got that. I got it. It wasn't about Kristen Stewart. It was about Harper.
I think Kristen Stewart knew that. Like, I think her character, I think Abby knew that too.
Yeah.
It wasn't about that as much as it was like about, like, you let your parents grace. Think that she's a steal. I mean, yeah, she's an orphan, but then, like, she's like this, like, I don't know, she's like stealing brooches.
Oh my God. Yeah, they think that she's like a little orphan Annie Oliver Twist kind of orphan.
I just remembered that I did this. So she brought someone home and made them pretend they were straight. I brought a dude home and made him pretend he was gay so he could sleep over.
Fantastic.
He was super into it.
We're not I'm into there that anymore. Too.
Obviously, because I have a husband now.
All right. So here we're in the home stretch, y'all. Dan goes up to the ex-boyfriend's like, you pump? Talking about pumping iron. It's so funny.
Yeah, he does.
Sloane finds them after the Oscar-winning speech, finds them making out, and she's like, I'm going to tell them, Dan! That's her running down the hallway. And then, like, I guess they somehow open a closet, and there's her Sloane's husband macking out with some lady, and she's like, we weren't supposed to do this yet. And then there he was like, oh. So she's like, oh, you guys are separating. And so they run to go like tell their parents and everyone. And then also during this whole, there's a whole like white level gift exchange. And Jane, like, at first, like, she paints this gigantic painting, and it's kind of, like, presented, you're like, oh, this is going to be something so stupid. This is going to be, like, the most ridiculous painting of all time.
It's so beautiful.
And it's gorgeous. Oh, it's
so, so beautiful. It's, like, she worked so hard on it.
100 hours.
100 hours.
It looks like it, too. It looks like 100 hours of work.
Yeah.
The main street.
She's, you know, she's quirky, but she's artistic, like all of us.
Yeah.
And so, of course, like, the sisters, like, you know, take a fight and tumble into the living room where the white elephant's going on. And, like, they fight with this giant canvas and, like, break the painting that's gorgeous.
Ugh.
And then Sloane outs Harper. It's like, she's gay.
That's and, so fucking rude. That's so fucking rude.
Oh, yeah. This is... So I feel like this is where the entire realism of the movie just plummets. Like, from here on out. Like, at the moment where she, like, outs her sister in front of an entire group of people that they, like, want love and respect out of. And then she's like, no, she's lying! And so basically denies that she's gay, denies that she's with Abby just after she made that Oscar-winning speech to her. She's like, oh, and then Jane, like, while they're still fighting, Jane's like, hey, I deserve to be a part of this family. I like myself. Like, I don't want to be left out anymore. And then, like, takes a tumble with them.
Yeah. Did we get the reveal yet on the older sister, on her drama?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that she is separating from her husband.
Yeah.
So then, like Abby's just like, cool, all right, I gave you, like, a second of a chance. You effed it up. I'm out. Dan and Abby walk outside, and this is when he gives his Oscar-winning speech, which, you know, includes, you know, how his dad kicked him out of the house, but, you know, how Abby's had, like, a perfect coming out, and how her parents were super supportive. And he's like, yeah, all those are legitimate, like from that spectrum is all right. Legitimate. It's, like, your own journey. And so I feel like that entire speech was just the crux of like the entire movie.
Yeah, and for sure.
I wanted to be longer, actually.
It was very, he was just very, it was just a very gentle, like, nurturing scene. It was, like, very sincere.
Yeah, I agree.
Can, like, Dan Levy be in, like, every movie?
Yes, please. I'm down for that.
But, yeah, she just wants to be with somebody who's ready.
Yeah.
And Harper obviously isn't.
And that's valid of Abby to want to be with someone that's ready. That's her journey.
Yeah. So the parents are mad that all the party dissipates. Parents are really mad, and they're super shitty to their kids. And then Harper bucks up, finally, and says that she's gay. This is Oscar-winning speech for her, number two. She apologizes about Riley and owns up to it and owns up to Abby. And, like, her parents are just, like, stunned. And then, you know, of course, it's, like, a pile-on of the siblings. And then Sloane is like, well, I'm getting a divorce. I didn't want to tell you guys because you just like me for my family. And then Jabe was like, I don't have anything to say, but I'm an ally. That was real cute. But basically, they're done being tortured by their parents. Like, they're done, like, having those unrealistic expectations of a perfect family that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And like Harper runs out. She's like, hey, I did it. And she's like, yeah, no, it's too late. Like,
you can't be forgiven after all the shit you put me through. Like,
yeah, this was a fucked up experience. Then we have a little scene with the mom and the dad. And she's like, I have something to admit to you. I've wanted to try karate, even though it's not graceful.
I really love their explanation of what is up with Jane too, which is that they gave up on her after she wouldn't stop biting in kindergarten. I just thought that was so wonderful. They were just like, it's just been feral this whole time. We don't know what to do about it.
She's like the most normal one, or normal. I said that, and I hope you heard the quotation marks in my voice, but they happened also physically. But there's also a cute little moment of all the sisters, you know, being in the kitchen, like, waiting for their parents' verdict, and just, like, bonding and being like, we don't have to compete, and no one's perfect, and I'm sorry we destroyed your painting. I'm like, oh, sister time. I love sister time. So the dad needs a little bit of time to accept what happened. And at this point, Abby and Dan are at a gas station. They're on their way back to Pennsylvania. I guess Harper tracked her to the gas station, which is a Love's, mm-hmm. by the way. It's a Love's gas station.
Love a Love's.
Love a Love's, baby.
Not a Bucky's, but it's a Love's.
So then Harper gets her third damn Oscar-winning speech about getting back together, how she loves her, wants to marry her, spend the rest of her life with her, blah, 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 what the fuck ever. This was just so frustrating, because it's like, no, you do not deserve her. Like, you have been gaslighting.
You have emotional work that you need,
like,
to do.
You do not deserve this one.
On your own.
Like, yeah. A lot. Like, you obviously have a lot of mommy and daddy issues that you clearly mm-hmm. need to work through mm-hmm. before you're able to love yourself or another person.
I think that Abby should have made her race her at a skating rink. They could only get back together if she won.
Hey, that's legit. It's, again, like, this is just a super unrealistic, you know, way to tie a bow on a complicated present, but the kids admit to stealing, and they're like, cool, we forgive you because you didn't steal after all. The dad admits that he sunk all of their savings into this campaign, and he only started the campaign so that they would be proud of him, which is like, that's bullshit. Fuck that.
That's so weird. That's weird.
Wait, are we going to go rate the kiss of when they got back together?
Oh, shit. I forgot to rate that kiss. Okay. I think I was just so frustrated at that point that I was just like,
this was a cute kiss.
I was frustrated. It was a cute kiss.
I'll give it a four calling birds.
Three French hens.
Yeah, I'll say three French hens only because I was just so over the relationship at that point.
Yeah. You weren't rooting for them to be together. You were rooting for Abby to get away.
Exactly. But it was with, like, the Love's gas station
thing. No, in front of a kiss me in front of a Love's.
Just like, it was an Instagrammable moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say three Finchens is appropriate. Let's see, blah, blah, blah. Oh, it's like, oh, I sunk all my savings. Like, Jane's like, but once my book sells, like, I can take care of all of it. And you're like, okay, Jane. yeah, and then I guess, like, the parents just do a whole 180, and now they're liberal as fuck now. And, like, he, like, turns down the campaign lady because she says that his daughter has to stay in the closet. He's like, no. F off. Then they finally get the perfect picture because it's perfectly imperfect. And now Kristen Stewart's in it. Oh, and then the end. They have a cute little So that's kind of the end. And then they have, like, a 1 year later epilogue where Jane's book is out.
Woo!
It's like a huge seller. Oh, it's so cute. Like, how she, like, talks about this book. It's adorable. But yeah, it makes a bunch of money.
New York Times bestseller.
Is Dan Levy's character, like, managing her? Or they're, like, friends now?
I noticed
something
that.
Which I really like.
I think he had something to do with that was his, like, job. I forgot what his job was, but it's something in the, like, PR realm.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Also, I do feel like, because we didn't see them interact really, but John and Jane would just get along so well.
Yeah, it just made sense that they would be friends.
I would see that series. Like, I would watch that if that were, like, a sitcom. Mm. Wouldn't you? Anyway, I'm going to write the
pilot. Absolutely.
They go to a movie. They don't pay for the tickets, and they go to the movie. Now she has a family. It's like a cute little, you know, bow on the end of her orphan thing. And they have a cute little epilogue as well with an Instagram feed of, like, them going to pride parades and
engagement.
Aubrey Plaza. Yeah, an engagement. And
yeah.
I guess, and the mom gets a yellow belt from karate, so...
Loved that.
Yeah. But yeah, that's about it.
I like this movie. I would watch it again. I only saw it once because it just came out, but I would watch it multiple times.
I've seen it 1.5 times.
Nice. I want to just stop it, like, for 10-15 minutes before it ends and just, like, pretend that they went on their happy ass ways.
I feel like it was, like, good. Like, Harper, like, needed to get there and do what she needed to do. I don't know about the longevity of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
for either of them.
Clea DuVall isn't currently married. So. Mm-hmm.
Maybe she rewrote her own past, like you said.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, either way. I think that just about wraps it up. Jade, thank you so much for coming on this podcast.
Thank you for having me. It was a great movie to watch.
Yeah. It's the first queer movie we've covered.
Yeah.
Not the first queer relationship, but it's the first queer movie. Yeah.
Well, I thought it was great. Really, I mean, there's the great casting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Such a strong cast.
Dan Levy needs to be in everything. I hope he's in Letterkenny season 9.
Oh.
That comes out on Boxing Day.
Oh, no, yes. I know, and I'm having a party. Okay, with my neighbors who live next door to me.
Yeah, your pod.
We're a pod.
Your touch pod.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, okay, I think that's about it. Do you have anything to plug?
I don't have anything to plug right now. Follow me on Twitter. Let's see my watch me figure out my life in these weird times. Sometimes I'm funny on there. Sometimes we just all learn a lot about my mental health together.
That works.
Yay!
Well, you can look us up on Patreon at Netflixmas Podcast. We have like a super special unedited version of one of our episodes where we got to talk with a real fucking prince. What?
What?
I know. So crazy. And then yeah. we're Facebook friends now. So super cool with the prince. Anyway, and then at Netflixmas Podcast on Patreon, at Netflixmas Pod on Twitter, at Netflixmas Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, and keep up with our social media, because I will post whenever Scarlett and I or I have either virtual shows or in-person live shows that are socially distanced and safe, because I'm not about to catch COVID. No. So make sure.
Yeah, that's basically, that's mostly Holly right now. So just keep up with her. I am somebody that I thrive on a stage. I don't get me wrong. I look great over Zoom, but I just love the roar of the grease paint, the smell of the crowd.
It's a different thing. It's a different kind of performance.
Yeah, for sure is. I have no idea if I'm funny in the virtual world. Apparently not, because no one Venmos me. But anybody can. I'll give you my Venmo information. But yeah, that should be all of our social media. Like and subscribe and rate us, please, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Rate us. So if we get a lot of 5-star ratings, more people will see us. And if you're listening, this is a good podcast and you know you want more people to listen to us.
Yeah.
We poor.
Yeah.
Well, I'm poor. Poor. I can't
speak. Oh, yeah, I'm getting less poor now. I just started a new job. But slightly less poor. Well, cool. I hope you guys have a very merry Netflixmas. Nailed it.
Netflixmas.
Have you ever wondered why we sing and eat figgy pudding during the holidays? How does the butter letter from 11th century Rome create the perfect holiday dessert? Join me, Glenn Warren, on Seasons Eatings as we explore the history and origins of your favorite Christmas foods. So head on over to SeasonsEatingsPodcast.com to subscribe on your podcast app of choice.